at Bible Talk in a dorm, and we had over 60 people trying to fit into this dorm. So they just split us up, and I became a Bible Talk leader since the second day of my conversion. And we just had no choice. You brought 20 friends, you lead them in a discussion. So here I am, 27 years later, still in the ministry. So I've been in ministry 26 and a half years. I went into the ministry 5 months after getting baptized. And I've been in ever since. So that's been a pleasure. I started in Kansas. And then from there, I moved to Dallas, Texas. And that's where I went into youth and family. So I led a team ministry for 13 years in Dallas. And we built the first camp that we had called Thousand Oaks Ranch. I mean, we literally built it by hand. Bricks, everything. But that was for the whole, back then, called the Great South. Like Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, all those churches. So I got a chance to train a lot of team leaders, Damon Curtis, Damon Michelle Curtis, you guys know them. We trained them in Dallas, the Markowskis, who now leads that. We trained them as well. So we had a lot of interactions with a lot of people. But it's been good. It's been a good time for us. And, so now we live in New Rochelle. And again, we've been here for about a year and 2 months. And it's been an experience because I started in Dallas, Kansas City, moved to Dallas, from Dallas. I got married there, and then we moved to Oklahoma, led the church in Oklahoma. Then we moved back to Dallas. Then we moved back to Oklahoma. Then we moved to Kansas City, led the church in Kansas City for almost 10 years, and then we moved to New York. So from Kansas City to New York. The Bronx. They didn't just say go to New York, go to the Bronx. And I didn't know that's where they explode all these bombs, all these pipe bombs in the air. They travel them all to New York. Anyway, hold on the story there. We're here to talk about youth and family. I'm not going to take all the time talking about me. So, first of all, I'd just like to say I'm probably was like you, but as I became a parent, I had a lot of preconceived notions. I projected a lot of things that I want my kids to be. In my mind, I was standing at the Super Bowl, and my child was handing me the football after scoring. And then I had two girls. So that didn't happen. So then I envisioned myself at the AMA Awards, American Music Awards, and they're singing their top songs, and they're just handing me stuff, and that didn't happen. But in my mind, I had all these notions of what I wanted my kids to be like, what they were going to do. Basically, I was going to live a lot of my dreams through my kids, in a sense. But I didn't tell them that, but that's how I envisioned it in my mind. This is what the kids are going to do. And I was able to do a lot of things. Even when I was in Dallas, when I was in the ministry in Dallas, well, back it up a little bit. My roommate in college was Michael Irvin's nephew, football player. And so after college, I was able to be on the practice squad for the Dallas Cowboys. So I got a chance to be down there, to see a lot of things, to do a lot of things. In Oklahoma, we had some challenges in our insurance, blah, 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 blah. So my daughter, you may not know it, but she was born deaf. And now she's got cochlear implants, so she's now. She tells me it's my fault, but we used to pray God just let her talk, and now she never.
But amen, man.
But the only way we were able to do that, because she had to have surgeries on both sides, and each surgery cost $75,000. Wow. And that's exactly what I was doing. So I thought, I got to do something to fix this. So actually, I went and I tried out for the fire department. So I became an EMT, and I was a full-time firefighter as well as leading the church at the same time.
I know.
Picture that. Because you work every 3 days. And so when the day came on Sunday, they just let me work until 7, and then I get off,
somebody replaced me, and then I went back to work.
So it worked out. But all that being said is that being able to do all those things, still, it was a great feeling, but yet it wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing is me thinking, how can I help my kids make it to heaven? Yeah. And so all those visions, all those dreams I had,
them doing this, them doing that,
I had to start looking at it, and actually I had to become a student of my kids to figure out what do my kids need in order to make it to heaven. Instead of me projecting what I think they need, I had to start studying them and figuring out what
do they need in order to make it to heaven. So I just want to talk about three basic lessons that I learned parenting, because it was really great being a team leader for so long and helping everybody else raise their kids.
Amen.
And then when I had them, it's a whole other story. I was like, oh, it's a whole different thing right here. And then I had two girls. I think God just said, I know what you need. So I had to learn sensitivity. Sensitive. First lesson that I want to express to you that I learned. Three simple things. First one is this. Raise the child you have, not the child you want. You have to raise the child you have, not the child you want. And I say that because there were so many things that I wanted for my child. So I would project those things on her. I would emphasize certain things that I thought she needed. But yet, God makes each of us and designs us differently. And God has, it talks about it in the Bible. He knew us from the days in the womb. He knows what we're like. He knits us together. He takes time to design each and every one of us. So one thing about my preaching style is I like to just be interactive. So I would encourage you gentlemen that are talking back there to at least pretend like you like what I'm saying. Because I can see you talking and doing other stuff. But kind of give me your attention here at this time. That would be good. I ain't going to even say your names. I ain't going to call nobody out. But I ain't going to say your name. You know you got glasses on. I ain't going to say your name. Just work with me here. But God did not make a mistake in creating your child the way they are. And that's one of the things I had to understand is that, you know, my kids are different. My oldest child, she doesn't talk very much, but this one here, Lord, talks a lot. When I had to discipline them, it was different. My oldest child, I would whoop her. Now, I know some people. Oh.
Careful.
We didn't have time out. Your time out was me resting from whooping your butt. Anyway. One got a lot of spankings. Actually, we whooped them. There's a difference in whooping and spanking. But this one here, she was so different that when I would spank her, I remember one time she looked at me and said, that didn't even hurt. Ooh, Lord. But for her to be in timeout was the end of the world for her. For her to be alone in a room. So I had to figure out, and again, be a student of my kid to figure out what is it, even discipline-wise, that's going to really be effective. And I started figuring it out. So then I started thinking, well, what's going to be effective spiritually? Because one, she loved to go out and have prayer walks. The other one, I couldn't get her out the bed to do nothing. That prayer walk was not happening with the other one. So I had to start thinking, what do I need to do differently with each child? And kids are going to be different. You know, my oldest daughter, she was horrible in sports in school. It was really bad. I mean, I helped her go try out for volleyball, and honestly, I left the gym because it was so bad. I went out to the car, and I called my wife. I said, she cannot play anything. This is not going to work. And I'm just being honest. Then we moved to New York, and she conversed this girl on the track team. And so the girl says, hey, come out and race me. So she went out there and raced this girl and just smoked her, blew her away. So the track coach runs over here, we need you on our team. Now she runs anchor leg and 100, I mean the 4x1, 100, did nothing in high school, get to college, and just goes out there for fun and smokes everybody. And I'm sitting here like, if you had did that in high school, you'd be on scholarship. Like, what is going on? But the point is, we don't know when our kids are going to blossom. We don't know what it is. They may do something that we think is kind of weird, but yet it just helped them be so successful. I think about the kids that never made it in sports in high school, but yet they kept trying out. Well, maybe that determination to keep trying out helped them become an incredible entrepreneur later on.
Yeah.
We don't know. I got cut from my sixth grade football team in Nebraska. They take football seriously in Nebraska. Sixth grade was a said you're too small and too slow to play peewee league. That is bad. Now, I am the smallest of my brothers. I have five sisters and three brothers. And one played Oklahoma lineman. My other brother played the Giants, actually, behind Henry Carson, opposite Lawrence Taylor. And here was I. And I'm like, I'm the little peewee. I can't even play peewee. And all my other brothers played great. So I just started going and trying and working out and doing all I could. and then got to high school. Didn't play again until high school. I started high school, all through high school and college. From getting cut in sixth grade to being able to be a starter for all those years. You don't know how your kids are going to blossom. And I think sometimes we can't put the wrong expectations on them, thinking, now's the time, now's the time. You know what? Raise the child you have. Because that child has gifts that God has put in them, but yet they're not going to blossom until God wants them to blossom. I think sometimes we try to blossom them when they aren't ready to blossom. And if we think about this, this is an important thing because each kid is a difference maker in the world. No matter what their gift is, that gift is helping them make a difference in the world. I want Grace to come on up and share a little bit first. She's going to come up several times, but why don't you just share a little bit first.
I don't know why I'm a little nervous, but, you know, I usually the talker.
And she just did the MC for the whole team conference in Boston. So I don't know.
Love you. Okay, so a difference maker. So, yeah, me and my sister are, like, very different, like, personality-wise. We're very different. But I just wanted to say that, like, my parents, like, they were very loving to me and my sister, so I really appreciate that. And, like, we used to do a lot of family walks, and it was just really awesome. But also how, like, they're different than, like, the, like, worldly parents, I should say, and that just really was a big difference for me. I was like, wow, they're, like, really loving to me no matter, like, what, like, I do and anything, and they supported me throughout, like, all my life, and so. Yeah.
Okay. You can ask that then. She's got more to say, trust me. It's coming up. So the first thing is raise the child you have. In other words, you have to realize no matter what, where your child is at, God gave you that child for that reason. God gave us a special needs child. I was so angry at God because what occurred is we were in Dallas and we took the job, made a decision to move to Oklahoma and lead the church there. 2 days before we were to move, the doctor said she's completely deaf. Stay in Dallas. We have more technology here. We can help her if you stay here in Dallas. We said, you know what? We called to move to Tulsa. We felt God calling us. We're going to move to Tulsa. So we moved to Tulsa. We get there in Tulsa. We go to the ear doctor, too, just to see what they say. They said, you know what? There's only two places in the country that can help your child. One is San Diego. Other is here in Oklahoma. These are only two places that did cochlear implants at that time. We moved on faith, not even realizing God already had a setup for us to go there so she can get this kind of surgery. And when I first found out she was deaf, I was upset. Like, God, why would you give me a special needs kid? I'm a minister. I'm trying to help people. Why not some crackheads out there, some drug dealer? Let them be the one. I was so angry with God about things. I'm trying to do good. They're not. Punish them. It was just that kind of frustration. But yet, now I realize what she's able to do. She had one cochlear at that time, and the insurance company didn't want to pay for a second one. So we took them to court. For 6.5 years, we took them to court. And then we won the lawsuit, and they were able to get her a second one that they paid for. Because of that, once that happened, everybody in the country that ever tries to get a second one automatically gets it. Because once one insurance company does it, all of them have to do it. So she is now in the law books of the United States for winning that case. And at first it went from, I got this special needs kid, to look at what she did. She changed thousands of kids' lives by just being consistent. That's the child God gave me. That's who I need to raise. Don't try to put other impressions on them or other stigmas. Raise the child God gave you, not the one you want. Amen? Okay, second important thing to remember is this. Four simple words. This too shall pass. Not sure, but this too shall pass. Those crying newborn babies, this too shall pass. Those 9-month-old babies that you sit in the doctor's office with snotty nose, this too shall pass. That 2-year-old toddler whose favorite word is screaming no, that too shall pass. The teenager who's starting to get all these different feelings going on, this too shall pass. When your baby goes off to college, this too shall pass. Guys, sometimes we think this is going to be like this forever. Why am I stuck like this? It's all going to pass. The bad times and even the good times are going to pass. Those times you used to hold them little things, and I remember I used to always put my kids' feet in my mouth and just be playing with them. That passed, because once they got older, their toes ain't going near me at all. Don't even rub up on me. But all those things, it will all pass, guys. We've got to enjoy what we have. We got to remember this. And it's important because it's, sometimes, again, I think we think we're going to be in the same place forever. Mm-hmm. But God is like, no, what I'm doing now is building you, not just them. Let me show you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3. We'll read verse 5 through 9. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. The man who plants is a man who waters, and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Basically, our children are going to go through seasons. We have to realize they're going to go through seasons. If you are right now in a planting stage, you got to realize it's not time to reap a harvest. If you're planting, it's not harvest time. If you're watering, it's not harvest time. And sometimes because we're doing so much, we expect fruit right then and there. That's not going to happen. It doesn't happen in nature. It doesn't happen in our lives. People think of how long people had to study the Bible with all of us hard-headed people before it actually clicked. In other words, we got to be patient with our kids. We got to love them, but we got to be patient with our kids and realize, you know what? God is working on them. Man, they just don't get it. Why won't they just clean their room? You know what? It's going to occur. It's going to take some time. You got to keep going after it. Why don't they just say yes? Why don't they put their dishes up? Why don't they take out their trash? All these things. But you know what? It's just that it's not that stage yet. Now, it doesn't excuse them by any means. So don't think I'm going off on that and just be graceful for everything. No. But we still got to realize there's just a season for everything. They got these little knucklehead kids right now, but they're going to grow out of it. And so it's important for us to realize we cannot compare our kids to other people's kids. Because sometimes we say, well, look, well, she's 17 and she a disciple. My 17-year-old ain't a disciple. My 18-year-old ain't a disciple. Well, they're at a different stage in life. Your child also wasn't born deaf. And now, the first thing that blew me away, she convicted me because every time in the morning, she doesn't put her cochlears on. She gets up and walks around and does everything. And I'm just talking. She can't get nothing. I mean, I'm just going, don't you hear me talking to you? No, she doesn't hear me, you know. And I was like, why do you do that? Because in my mind, I want to wake up and hear what's going on. She said, because God made me this way. So I want to wake up the way God made me every day. And then I'll put it on. I just had to walk away. I can't even say that. I'm like, how much more humbling can I be? You know? Okay, you got me. But you want to share some things when it comes to comparisons and pressures that people, that you guys feel?
Okay. So, like, I've been growing up in the kingdom kid, obviously. And, like, my dad's a preacher. And so, like, I get a lot of pressure. So, like, before I was a disciple and can disciple, like everyone, every day, everyone would be like, oh, when you can study the Bible, when you study the Bible, I just felt like I needed to study the Bible. So I did study for a little bit, and then, like, that kind of stopped. I can't remember why, but I did. But like through those time, my parents were so loving me. They were acting any different from me or anything. They were like saying, like we had some teen disciples, and they weren't like comparing me to them. They were just so loving. They're so like being a parent, I guess. Yeah. And like, and then I became a disciple in New York. Monday would be my official year. So, but yeah. And so, like that, and they never compare me and my sister. Like, I always, like, compare myself to her, but they never were like, Grace, why you can't be like Lily doing this and that? My sister's name is Lily, by the way. So they'll never be like, oh, Grace, why can't be like Lily and this and this and that? But they're always like, Grace, like, why can't you do better? So they always, like, put me. So that just really helped me. So, yes.
Here's the thing. I think having two girls, I learned that I needed to talk more to my daughters. Because, and listen. But here's the thing. If I don't listen to her, somebody else in the world will. I want it to be me that listens to her and talks to her. And that's the thing that we have to realize is that we really have to do all we can to help our kids. And it's something that we, again, have to be students of our kids and figure out what do they really need and how can we work with them. And I had a really good point, too. I can't remember what it was. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. I know what it was. I want to encourage you with this. Be just as concerned what's going on in her normal everyday school life as you are in them becoming a disciple. You gotta hear that, because sometimes we're more concerned with why aren't you studying the Bible? Are you having your quiet times? Are you praying? Are you doing this or that? And not, how's it going in school? Are you getting bullied? You getting peer pressure? Some boy like you? Are you looking at who you texting? Is you Snapchatting this boy? I mean, to talk about normal stuff that they go through and not just church stuff. Because if they start to feel like we're more interested in church stuff than them, that's what's going to push kids away. So it's important that we really embrace that. And before this is done, I got some stuff for the kids too, so just don't think y'all sitting back there. Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You know, I say this because sometimes one thing I know is a lot of parents, for some reason, are, I want to say they're scared of their kids, but they're faithless in a way of thinking, if I stick to this conviction, my kid may rebel. My kid may not love me. My kid may not. Your kid may not do a whole lot of stuff. But honestly, if we don't have the conviction and stick to it, they will have nothing to come back to. As the Bible says, you teach them the right way to go. Even if they stray away, they'll come back. Too many times we don't teach them the right way because they might do something. Guys, we are so important. As long as my child lives in my roof, we need going to church with me. That's just the end of the story. My daughter said, you know what? I want to get a tattoo. Now when you're living in this house, you get no tattoo. You move out, get your own job, get married, you can get a tattoo. And that little bird, Tweety Bird, gonna turn into a big buzzard when you get 80 years old. I tell them why it's not good, but I hey, that ain't happening in my house right now. Well, I want a nose ring. You know what? At 18, I'll let you do the nose ring. But it gotta be this little bitty thing. You can't be coming on a big ox loop hanging all out your nose. That ain't happening. But so there's some leeway with things as they get older, but you are still the parent. And that's just the bottom line. And if they don't see that, then how are they going to respect God's authority or other man's authority, the police, the fire department? They're not going to respect authority if we don't show them in the beginning. But if we show them authority with a righteousness behind it, you cannot go wrong, guys. Yeah. And that's how it needs to be. So it may not feel good at the time, but you know as well as I do, our parents didn't have Google and Siri to learn how to raise us, and we turned out all right. Yeah. I mean, we're all right. But yet, we learned a lot from our parents. So, again, sometimes you gotta water, sometimes you sow, sometimes you reap. Well, how do I do this at different stages? Well, you know, even when they're little babies, just singing church songs with them is a way to help them. Now, will they understand it? And they don't even know you're off pitch. They just want to hear some music. They just going to love it. Yeah. Think about it. I don't know about y'all, but I did not grow up going to church. I went on Christmas, Easter, and my birthday. Those three holidays. That's about it. But I would come home on the weekends after fishing with my dad, and my mom would be in the kitchen singing them songs, them church songs. And you know what? I still remember it. I didn't go to church, but I got a lot of church from her. And that's the thing to remember. The biggest church you can give your kids is you. When they see how a man treats, how the husband treats the wife, that's the biggest lesson they're going to learn. Because now they're learning how I should respect women. But if dad is going off mean, violent, angry, that's what you're going to raise. A mean, violent, angry child. If he sees mama talking back to the dad and putting the man down, then you know what? He's going to feel belittled and feel like I have no way to advance. It's what they see in us that determines what's going to happen. What about when they're a little older, toddlers? Again, church songs. Read some pop-up little books with them. Incredible. Middle school. Again, read and pray, but offering hospitality. Helping them. When we have hospitality, we help the kids set the table. I mean, they have jobs to do when people come over to help set things up. I always have a talk with my kids. Before we go somewhere, church, somebody's house, whatever, okay, we'll go in here, don't act a fool. Go in here, know to be loving, say hi to Uncle Sam. Sam Powell, that's what we call Uncle Sam. Make sure you hug him. You know, we just have these repeated conversations. Now, I know they know, but sometimes we need reminders. I know I got challenged by one of the elders' wives in Kansas City. Said, you know what? You need to learn how to smile. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, because you don't smile. I said, well, I'm not unhappy. I'm happy. I'm just thinking. He said, but you know what? Your face doesn't say you're thinking. And so when you're just looking like that, nobody want to talk to you. I was like, dang, you ain't got to say it like that. But it's true. If I'm just sitting there thinking and then, I have to consciously think about it. Our kids need to consciously be reminded of certain things as well. We just kind of assume they know. When you're studying the Bible with somebody, they don't know how to have a quiet time. You have to teach them how to have a quiet time. We can't just assume they know. So why do we just assume our kids know? Unless we teach them. So even when they're teens, we have character studies that we do with our teens. Studies on purity, humility, honesty. Yeah, I'm sorry for the microphone. We have 13 character studies that we do with kids. I want to encourage you, if you don't have these, we can send them to John and give them to you, or you have them. And what we have, the team leaders do one study, and the parent do another study. 1 week team leader, 1 week parent. Why? Because we need to be involved. It's still our kids. It's not somebody else's kid, but this is important for us to do to build that character at an early stage. And then, even after that, when they're adults, you still got to have talks with them. You still got to have talks. How's it going? How's life? How's your finances? So these are some of the things we do. I want Grace to come out one last time to kind of share about family things that may have helped her become a Christian, and then we'll have some question and answer time.
Yay! All right, so some of the things I remember my parents doing, one of them, I remember we used to do, like, family devotionals and, like, we didn't do it every night, but, like, we did mostly on Sundays after church. And so, like, each Sunday we have someone done lessons. So, like, my dad would do the first one. I'll just the next one, and my sister, and, like, my mom. And then so we all did it, but, like, I remember as I'm doing it, I was, like, it was helping me grow a little bit. And, like, I didn't know, but thinking back, I was like, wow, that helped me. And sometimes we used to reenact them. So my family reenacted Lazarus, and then so we reformed a church, and I remember that. It was so fun. Like, I was Jesus. I had this big, nice robe. It was really oversized. I was, like, really tiny. I was, like, really small. And so, like, I had this big coat, and my sister was hiding the jacket. I mean, not jacket, the closet. She had toilet paper all over her. And then my dad and my mom were, like, the apostles, I guess. Yeah. And then so, like, I was just, like, Lazarus arise and stuff, and my sister would pop out. And then, like, it was really funny. The whole church laughed. It was really fun. But then I remember, like, growing up, like, my sister had it, too. we had like this little like kid book, and so I just remember about like Noah and then like Jonah and then like Jesus and like all that. So that was really fun. And then like in Kansas, like there, it's like a really open space and there's a lot of like trees and cows and yeah. And so, like, in our neighborhood, we had this really big, like, sidewalk, I guess. And so we used to go to family walk, especially, like, on Easter, too. We just had a prayer walk. We just walked to them and just talked about life, and that was really nice. And then, like, camp also helped me. And I love going to camp every summer. But, like, especially this year. You know, this year's camp was really amazing. It was so much fun. I made a lot of friends. And so shout out to the teens. Camp was really fun. Yeah, and so I thought it was just really fun. Just do a lot of interacting things. So doing a lot of things with the family, especially with my parents, was really good. And just how, like, they always ask me, like, how you doing? Are you okay? It just shows that, like, they do care about my spiritual life, but they also care about, like, my personal life, I should say. And so they look out for me, and so I really appreciate that. So thanks, Dad.
So one of the things, I know a lot of time is like, we may not have time for devotionals. Guys, there's always time for devotionals. You got to be creative. If you're sitting down to have dinner, you can have a quick 3-minute devotional before dinner. I mean, it's just simple things, okay? We would go around dinner at dinner time and everybody would share one thing positive about somebody at the table. And you can't repeat the same person, but so there's only 4 of us, so we always found a way. Everybody say something. But what are we doing? We're teaching them how to encourage people. By doing things like that. There's always a way to have some kind of teaching devotional that you can have. The devotional doesn't have to be an hour long. I mean, just something simple for them. But a lot of times, like she said, I would lead it this week. The next week, she would lead it, my other daughter. So it's not just on one person to do all the devotionals either. And sometimes you may feel overwhelmed. I got a plan. I got to do all this. Let the kids plan it. Let them do it. You know, and so these are different things we would do in order to help encourage them learn more about the Bible. If you don't like my devotional, you create a devotional. Okay, I'll do it. And then they just got so into it, and they really love telling us what to do. You go sit over there, Dad. You go sit over there. I mean, it just became a very fun activity that we did. So there's a lot more. I know, just to have a little bit of time, a question answer, you can come up here too. If there's something that maybe we did or that she may have felt or what we could do. I don't know. Whatever you want to ask, I mean, we're open book. Again, we don't proclaim to know everything by any means, but I messed up enough to know what not to do. I can tell you that much. But is there any kind of questions or thoughts or comments? You guys have heard this is a very inquisitive group. So I just wanted to find out if there is from anybody. Because if you don't, then I'm going to ask you questions. So it's either way, we're going to ask questions today. Yes, sir.
So, I know you're big in sports. And you mentioned something about you don't want to live your dreams of sports through your kids. Right? So I know in Long Island, sports is big. Right? So a lot of our kids are actually into sports. How did you handle your kids as far as when they got into volunteer sports, making church a priority and making sure that to every church event, you know, and how you get them to network and connect with other team disciples, or how did you make things work out so that they can, you know, have that fellowship that they need?
I'd like to ask you a question, but can I ask, we do something first, can everybody whose kids over there sit with their parents? So can the kids go sit with whoever your parents are so we can have these discussion here? That'll help us real move us along a little bit. Don't mind, please. It'll open up more family talk here.
Yay!
So how do we help our kids with sports? Well, my daughter here did a ballet. She was into, she actually danced for the Kansas City Professional Nutcracker Ballet. She was it was a big article on her first deaf child to ever dance at the Kansas City Ballet. It's like started out in like 5th grade, so. So, my bad. Third grade. But ballet takes a lot of time. I mean, you're practicing so much. But me and my wife would just switch off, but who would take her to different things? So we set our schedule, or, you know, make sure I'm free for this, that, and this, and that. But when it came time to church or dance, we asked her, which one is important to you? You want to go to church or you want to go to dance? And at first it was dance, dance, dance. But as she started growing again, that watering and reaping, we helped her see what's important, what's important, what's important. And then by the time, I don't know, a couple of years into it, she was choosing church over ballet. And so I think it's already our conviction, but we got to help it to grow to be their conviction instead of forcing their conviction. But a lot of that even occurred because the different things that we wanted to do, even family vacations, we're like, okay, we're going to go somewhere, but we got to find a church where we're going to go. Because even while we're away, we're going to go to church because that's mm-hmm. important. So I would talk to her through what we're doing instead of just saying, you got to do this, this, and that. I was like, well, this is what we do, and helping her to see that example, which leads into those things. But I think that is a good question because a lot of times the sports today is so much, a lot of stuff's on Sundays and Wednesdays and different things. And yeah, part of it is on purpose, but I think it's just a gradual conviction and not just a forced, you have to do this or that. Yes, sir? But like if it's on a Wednesday, if it's on a Sunday, it's not optional. I mean, it's not like your ballet, it ain't a ballet. First of all, I'm paying for that thing. We're going to church. But like the Wednesday thing, that's where it's more of, okay, what do you feel like is this? So not that Wednesday isn't important, but it's more of one where that's where I helped her to grow into, because Sunday was something that she was going to come to, but Wednesday, well, we did it on Tuesday, Thursday back then. Okay, this is something that you can do here, and all the ladies are meeting. What do you want to do? So that was more of what do you feel like is better. That's what we helped her grow into that one. But the Sunday one, that's just one that it's like, okay, this is our family, and this is what our family does. It's like a family vacation in a sense. I mean, you're not going to not go because you want to dance ballet. You go on a family vacation. So church is a family thing that we did together. So I don't know if that answered kind of what you're saying, but it was the middle of the week one was more the one that we had those discussions with. Sundays. The way we handled it is one, we just talked. That's why we had to talk about what are your classes like, what are you doing, so I'll know those things. But then I'd say, okay, that's what they taught you there. That's academically, but this is biblically the truth of what's going on. Trust me, I went up to school and had many talks with teachers about different things. You can teach what you want, but this is what we believe and where we're at with things. So if my daughter says something differently, she's not to be called out, you know. But just to make sure, pretty much every teacher knew Maurice and Lauren at these schools that was going on. But I think that's where you have those discussions at home to basically clean up the mess that sometimes they're doing. It was incredible. I mean, moving here, her first year of high school, one of her friends got stabbed and killed in her high school. And it's just like, we're not in Kansas anymore. And this is like serious stuff. And it's like, then the next week, what, two other people got stabbed in there? Mm-hmm. So it was totally different. And we heard about this, you know, and they called, they had to lock down all this stuff. So we're rushing home, worrying about her. You know, how is she going to freak out about this? What's going on? And we get home, and she's got one of her friends that she's studying the Word of God with in her house. Because after all that happened, she said, come to my house, and we're going to study the Bible. We're freaking out. She's sitting down having a word study. We're like, oh, my God, what's going on? But see, that's, I think, putting those things in there, and then we got to give the trust that God's going to handle it. And that's where it's hard as a parent to trust that God's got this thing, you know, because we always want to have control in it. But you know what? If you put in the right stuff, even sometimes when kids are at church and they're not really listening, they really are listening. Even though they may not act like it because they're kind of cool or whatever, you know, make it seem like they're not listening and they still got their swag on and all that stuff. But they really listen inside. And they just don't always want to show people that they're listening, but they really listening, even though they're not, you know, paying attention. But I know they listen. So, any other questions? Are we going to start asking? Yes, sir.
You mentioned that you got angry about when did you recognize that you're really angry at God versus I got angry at my kid. A lot of comparisons between my children. I have two boys, by the way. And one, I say, it's almost a major. I do recognize it. But here is like this cousin between both of them. And I've gotten angry a number of times.
You didn't blame the mama, did you? Okay, just check it, making sure. That's your son. That's not mine.
Wow.
I think I resolved it that I'm more of I stuff and then I blow up. And so I never got a chance to blow up until when all this happened and I went out on a prayer walk and I was literally screaming in my prayers. And just, it was just crazy. And then I thought, this is just, where's all this coming from? But it was that anger and it came out. And then we moved and I didn't have that grassy cow land field to pray in. And then I'm in the basement and I'm screaming in the basement. And my wife runs down, like, what is wrong? What's wrong? And I'm like, I'm just praying. What's wrong for you? Casting out demons or something. But it took me to actually just tell God what I felt. And I was telling God, I can't believe you did this and you did that, you know, because I'm talking to him like a person. I'm just unleashing on him. And about halfway through, I'm like, and I'm starting getting a little nervous. Like, you don't talk to God like that. What am I doing? And that kind of woke me up. Like, what nerve do I have to be mad at God? You know, because of whatever. I don't know his plan. So for me, I dealt with it through prayer. And in my prayer, I actually got real with God. And then that helped wake me up. To, what am I really feeling and doing? So let me ask a question here. Is there any teenagers that have a question for maybe my daughter? How does she feel, or what pressures does she feel as a ministry kid or as a disciple? Or is there any? I like to have a teen guy or girl just ask my daughter a question. Wouldn't you like a question?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't mind. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll get nervous talking about God. Because, like, especially as a disciple, because you just never know what they're going to say. And, like, I'm scared to, like, lose friendship, and I don't want to, like, lose that friendship. But I just had to learn to, like, it's not what they think, it's what God thinks. And, like, at the end, it comes down to, like, God or, like, people. But I always try to be myself no matter what. And so that just really helped me.
It's funny because she's naturally kind of bubbly, like her mom. Bubbly and talk. And yeah. The kids accuse her of being high in school because nobody's that happy.
Thank you. Yeah, they just be like, Grace, are you okay? Like, I'll come in the morning. Like, I have to be at school really early in the morning because, like, I do dance at school. I'll be like, good morning. How are you guys doing? Are you okay? I'm like, you take something like that? I'm just really happy. You know, it's the Lord. They're like, okay. But they really like it how, like, they make their day. They don't show it, but, like, at the end, they're like, you know, Grace, you're really, like, encouraging. And I'm like, that's what I'm here for.
It took a couple of months, but now they're going to her for encouragement and stuff. So they they try.
Yes, I am. Like, there is temptations. Like, when I go to school, there is. But I just try to remember God. I always make sure to do my quiet times in the morning. And, like, I just try to just be the best example of God. I just try to, like, show people, like, the difference of, like, what a person is in the world and the person is, like, with God. I just always make sure I'm thinking about Jesus all the time, and I'm like, I'm encouragement. Like, I do have my bad days, but I try to, like, be, like, uplifting and encouragement and always give, like, compliments and stuff. So, yes.
What we do is we like to invite her friends to our house. I mean, our house needs to be the place to be. So if she has three or four friends from class that she wants to hang out with who are not Christians, you can at our house. So you can hang out at our house and then have their parents come over and pick them up. And then that way we get to meet the parents and have conversations with them and stuff. So it's not like she doesn't have any friends that aren't Christians. No, you can, but we're going to kind of oversee how this friendship is going to happen. And so we just bring them to our house. They usually like eating spaghetti.
Yeah. Any other questions?
There's not one guy team that has a question. It could be about sports. It could be about anything you want to know. Doesn't have to be a church question.
Yeah.
Anything in life.
I do sports too.
Yes.
What are some of the things that your parents did or continue to do to really help you just to grow your faith? Like, do you spend time one on one with your parents individually? What are some ideas?
Well, one of the things that really helped me is that, like, I remember growing up, they always used to take me and my sister, or just, like, just my mom or my dad, like, just by myself with them, and, like, my dad would take me out to movie theater, we would just, like, hang out and talk, and that was really good. It was, like, I'm bonding with them, so that was really nice. And then, like, I see their love for God and how, like, they put God first before everything. Like, yeah, they just put God before everything, so that was really encouraging, and that just really showed me, like, wow, they really love God, and they are willing to even put God first before me. I know, I was just like, wow. Like, I wanted to see what it was like, so,
yeah. I take them out on dates, so they can see how a guy should treat them. So if some guy in the world thought about dating her, she'd be like, this is nothing compared to what I know it should be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's for both of them separately. I mean, sometimes we're together, but usually individual 8 days. You just say daddy daughter day.
Yeah, we have some really good times. I love my food. You know?
Yes, sir. You say?
Yeah.
Hey, you're a child of God.
Yeah.
Yep. I pay the farm bill, so 10 o'clock, that bad boy goes over to me. He's good, but You got there. She don't have Facebook. No, that ain't happening.
Oh, I don't want.
So there's, I mean, you put the restriction up. We have a conversation about it. The older they get, I give them more, a lot more leeway about stuff. I'm not going to keep treating them like a, you know, 7-year-old. But yeah, I think we got to limit and watch that stuff. John Markowski is a master at blocking all kinds of stuff on their phones. I mean, it's a shut-off time that the phone automatically shuts off. It's all kind of things. But I think kids are nowadays have a hard time socializing because it's easier to text. And if you text it, you don't have to say it. And that's a big problem. And it's just not going to get any better. iPhones are good sometimes for GPS in New York. Other than that, yeah, I don't know. If you figure that one out, let me know. But that's a tough one, man. Yes, sir.
Like, I didn't know, I wasn't friends with the person who got sad, but, like, my friend was, and so, like, she was really, like, sad for, like, weeks. I was really trying to encourage her and stuff. I mean, I did encourage her and stuff, but some of the things is, like, some of the things, like, they say, I'll just be, like, what? Like, why you say that? And, like, I tell my friends, like, can you please not, like, say that around me and stuff? Sometimes it slips out, but, like, I just try not to let that. I hope that helps you. Yeah, I just try to just block that temptation. And, like, if I am struggling through that, I'll just, like, read a little scripture from the Bible on my phone really quickly. And I'll just, like, just always make sure God is on my mind all the time.
It's really amazing how, like, even, like, her friends come over that aren't Christians and tell us about the drug deals that go on at school, in the cafeteria, under the table. And that, and I'm just sitting here like, man, it's like NCIS. I mean, it's like
every day, I'm like, I'm on Law and Order.
So they're all there. So I know this is the last question.
So, dating. How do you guys as a family handle dating and interest in boys? Before disciple, and even now as a disciple, what are your discussions like as far as? How do you unify as far as that?
Grace, how are we?
Well, so. Yeah. Well, they say that.
They say,
obviously, want me to date someone in the kingdom, and I want to date someone in the kingdom, like, the guys in the world. Mm-mm. But they, what? Yes, amen. But, like, they want me to start dating, like, whenever God's ready it is, whenever God wants me to be ready. And, like, I know for me personally, I'm like, I just want to wait until, like, the end of senior year, like, definitely in college for sure. But, like, right now, I just know. I just know for me personally that, like, I'm not ready, and, like, just so long. I just want to grow myself, know who I am and who I am with God first. Because, like, I just know that, like, I have friends who are in a relationship, and, like, I see it or stuff like that, and I'm like, that's not how God wants me to be. That's not how God wants that in there. So it's just my personal decision that I want to wait till I'm, like, older and I'm really mature and everything. Like, yeah, I say I'm mature and I'm grown. But I'm really not grown. I think I am, but I'm not. Dad?
Yeah, that's good.
Can I still get that ride home?
But yeah, I think just having those conversations that, you know, for the longest time they used to say, my boyfriend is Jesus. You know, that's my only boyfriend. And, you know, I think I just look at it like that's my personal challenge to
find and convert some men that my daughter can hook up with. to be honest with you, I mean, it's like, hey, somebody got to do it, so. Anyway, I don't know if that answers your question, but.
That's good.
So anyway, thank you for allowing us to be here.